Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Well, another misguided gray whale has turned up in Santa Monica Bay recently. It was chased all the way through the L.A. River and right ultimately into O.J. Simpson's driveway. Well, you have reminded me that the head writer job here at the Larry Sanders Show is open. Please send all resumes to my producer, Artie, and no sense of humor is required.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 592 for the week of December 8th, 2025. I am secret sassy reader David T. Cole, and I'm here with woman from Nantucket, Sarah D. Bunting.
I don't get it.
Enemy of powerful women, Tara Ariano.
This is the joke that's going to take down Oprah.
Furious at Calista Flockhart, David J. Roth.
Have a cheeseburger.
Lesbian shopping at Home Depot, Jeff Drake.
I can only go to the bathroom during commercials.
And Chickadee China the Chinese, Stephen Falk.
Get off my lawn.
Welcome to Extra Hot Great for another week. We're here with one of our favorite exercises we do every year, the Mullendash pre-tape. And we're here with a panel of luminaries who tried to dumb themselves down to pass for Jim Mullen. Dave, we've already told the story of Mullendash in previous years, but why don't you recap it for our new listeners?
Jim Mullen's hot sheet was part of the opening barrage of Entertainment Weekly and all those little tiny articlets you get. Mm-hmm. And it was 10 things, I believe, each week. And he would say what it is, set up his own punchline, and then deliver the punchline. And they're terrible. Yeah. You really have to know that Jim Mullen is a particular type of doughy white guy. And when we play this game, which is a version of Balderdash, where Tara reads out the subject and the setup, and we all have to come up with our own punchlines in order to fool everybody else into thinking that we are Mullen. This is a game that started at the Television Without Pity sort of writer conventions that we had in Vegas.
I think Steve Falk was there at the genesis of the game.
He definitely was. Mm-hmm. And it caught on, and it is a very sobering exercise when you do it well, because you become Mullen, and that's a dangerous place to be. Winning is winning, but also sometimes it's a very introspective moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So our panel this year is all people that our listeners have heard before. The exception is Steven. We knew him as Steve back in the day, who hasn't been on in quite a while. So welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm both happy and a little angry to be here.
Yep.
That's how it feels.
Yep. That's how it is.
And then two people who've never played the game before, Jeff Drake, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me, and God damn you for having me.
Yep, and Dave J. Roth. Welcome, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. I guess what Jeff said is efficient for me. Well,
so there are two ways to get points on each of these setups you're about to hear. I culled 16 from the archives that I, like a true psychopath, saved as web archive pages, because I knew when I found them on the Entertainment Weekly site, someday they're going to take them down, and they basically have. I think there's 20 left on there.
And it's worth saying you called them down to the TV selections.
Yes, they're only TV topics, of course. And I just sort of jumped around in the archives that now I feel like the Library at Alexandria of Mullen.
Yeah.
If you guess the real Mullen punchline, you get 2 points, and then you can also earn a point for each time one of your fellow players guesses your punchline. Unlike past episodes, I did not write my own punchline for each setup, though actually I did, and then Dave said, don't Look. Put them in as a spoiler. Dave told me not to. Dave loves silencing women.
I do, but if you really want to put them in, go ahead.
It's
I just
too
thought
late now.
We were a little overstuffed last time, that's all.
It's too late now.
All right, great. Got my way.
I will read each setup and then all of the punchlines. You will guess, we'll tally the points. One of you will experience the complicated joy of being the best at this game. Is everyone ready to play Mullen Dash?
We are.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
No.
Starting with the May 14th, 2004 issue of Entertainment Weekly, Frasier finale. The insanely supercilious shrink is calling it quits after 11 seasons. Here are the punchlines. Number one. As if all of Seattle wouldn't have just gotten a Prozac prescription already. Number two, that's 2,000 times longer than Britney's marriage to her childhood friend lasted before she called it quits. Number three, he wasn't satisfied with the network copay. Number four, and the only patient he cured was his checking account. Number five, he plans to give up psychiatry and do something good for humankind instead. And number six, it's about time. In recent episodes, you can see him subtly checking the clock behind the camera.
That is a good collection to start off with. These are all quite Mullen-esque.
I'm very proud of / horrified by all of you.
That's how it goes.
Wow. Yep.
Wow.
Sarah D. Bunting, please start us off. What is the correct punchline to the insanely supercilious shrink is calling it quits after 11 seasons?
Oh, boy. Well, I really went on a journey because, like, that first one, it's, like, a little too wordy. It's a little too, were we still talking about Prozac then? But then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. Like, everybody really hit it on the screws here, so to say. I don't think it's the Britney one because I, A, feel like I know who that actually was, and B, it's a little too good for Mullen. Some of these are a little, just a little too tightly written and balanced and aware of the way sentences function. Mm-hmm. The first answer doesn't suffer from those problems. So I'm going to say the first one, Prozac prescription.
Very good. David T. Cole.
It's worth saying that last year, Sarah D. Bunting really pinpointed mine in the list. And so this year, I was aware of that, and I tried to take myself out of my answers. So I just want to say, we'll see how well she does this year compared to last year.
For the record, you were not who I meant.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I was peeved last year that you were so good at extracting mine and not answering with them.
Yep.
The one that speaks to me here is he was not satisfied with the network copay because it is bagging on both the industry, which he loves to do, and then also things the common man hates, which are copays. So right. I'm going to go with that one.
All right, Dave Roth.
I had a similar thought journey on that, but that was one that I wound up taking out because it was a little bit too coherent. They're like the idea of like, this has been, I broke down some tape, listened to some previous episodes, got in the lab, John Harbaugh style. The thing that like strikes me about these is that like everybody, when you fuck up, it's a question of being like asking yourself, does he know what a copay is? Like, is like what is the most basic unit of observable reality that he's capable of covering? I think that that one is a little bit too good a gag. I'm going to go with he plans to give up psychiatry and do something good for humankind instead. A little bit broader and a little bit worse.
Very good. Jeff.
Boy, I've changed my answer like 3 times during this because these are all very good points. The thing that I think would have helped me when I was writing mine is sentence structure. It's like, oh, right. Yeah, it's like it's not elegant writing almost ever. And so that's the thing. I think at the last minute, I was before David just picked, though, I'm going to pick the same one that David did because I feel like the structure of it is clunky enough. Basic concept of a joke is there, but if you were really to write the joke, you would hone the writing of it. And I think that's him at his most honed.
Okay,
or whoever it was. So I'm picking good for humankind instead.
Got it. And Steven.
So I mean, I always look to his setup like what he chose to write. And he wrote insanely supercilious, which is, behaving as if one thinks one's better than other people. But that doesn't really pertain to then any of his jokes. So I wonder why he went to that length. I'm really trying to get in his mindset. So he wrote that.
Mind hunt a guy.
Come up with a joke that fit that. Uh-huh. So then I think he just went curmudgeon and said, psychiatry sucks. And so I'm going with the same one, giving up for something good for humankind instead.
Wow. All right.
Could be big points for somebody.
Here we go. We're going to reveal, as if all of Seattle wouldn't have just gotten a Prozac prescription already, is by David J. Roth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I asked my wife, what is the most obvious antidepressant?
Prozac. That was good. That was good.
2,000 times longer than Britney's marriage to her childhood friend. That is Mr. Jeff Drake.
Oh, guessed wrong. I thought that was Steve.
2,000 is good.
Wasn't satisfied with the network copay, Sarah D. Bunting. Only patient he cured was his checking account was Dave. It's About Time in Reese episodes. You can see him checking the clock with Steven. And he plans to give up psychiatry do something good for humankind instead. That's Mullen.
Oh, no. Yes.
Wow. So for this round, David J. Roth gets 3 points, one for fooling someone, two for guessing the right one. And Jeff and Steven, 2 points as well for guessing the Mullen. Sarah gets 1 point for tricking, I believe, Dave.
And I get nothing.
Dave. Goose egg.
Dave gets, although I do give Dave credit for the only patient he cured was his checking account was my runner up because it was like the pairing of patient and checking account. I was like, that doesn't scan
makes
at
no
all.
Sense.
Like, but yeah, but yeah. Like, that was what elevated it to that number two spot.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Next, from the December 26th, 2003 issue of Entertainment Weekly, you've just celebrated Christmas, it's Boxing Day, time to open up your Entertainment Weekly and see this shit. Home decorating shows. Trading Spaces, While You Were Out, Surprise by Design, etc. are the darlings of cable TV. That's the setup. Here are your punchlines. Number one, a quick tip, getting rid of your TV set makes any room look bigger. Number two, I emptied the dishwasher without being asked, do I get a show? Number three, in an effort to capitalize on the trend, the latest episode of Nip Tuck will be about a kitchen remodel instead of a facelift. Number four, finally a chance to experience getting dragged to IKEA by your wife from the comfort of your own home. Number five, America just loves watching strangers paint over each other's mistakes. And number six, which shows how much people want to get out of their own houses without leaving their house.
Evil. I don't
I
like
hate
any of you.
All of you.
Wow.
Exactly.
All right, David T. Cole, you are guessing first here. Start us off, please.
There's always this push and pull with Jim Mullen when he writes something about biting the hand that feeds him, like where he is bagging on the industry, which gives him the content to make the hot sheet. So the first one, getting rid of your TV set makes any room look bigger, instantly becomes a 50-50 coin flip for me. And I hate ones like that. Oh, boy. The going to IKEA, getting dragged to IKEA by your wife feels a little too Mullen engineered to me. He does have that streak into him. He does have that sort of part of his brain that is like, the 50s, why not now?
It's like the song lyric, more Mullen than Mullen.
So I think I'm going to go with the last one, which shows how much people want to get out of their houses without leaving their house.
Okay.
He does have also disdain for the general public.
Okay. David J. Roth.
I'm probably over-indexing for topicality here, but just seeing Nip Tuck was like remembering some guy's experience in its own right that I kind of want to give some credit. Like the idea of getting rid of your TV was not deep enough in the Mullen game to think about how I was like, first of all, I thought that was like a little bit too clever for what we're talking about. And then also it didn't occur to me that he would go far enough as to be like, also, you shouldn't be watching this shit. I shouldn't have a job either. Like just whatever going for there. I'm going to go with the Nip Tuck one with some reservations.
Okay, Jeff.
I'm just going to go with misogyny here. Mm. And so that brings it down to two, because I feel like the emptied the dishwasher is also like, has like a misogyny thing. Like I did it. Like
when men do housework, they want to have a clap after.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's not my job, as you know, because I have a penis, but I did it. And so I'm just going to go with dishwasher.
Okay, Steven.
I don't really understand getting out of their house without leaving their house. So that's probably the right answer. But there's some, I wrote this, it's a full sentence. There's sort of humor in it. I'm done. I'm going to move on about loves watching strangers paint over each other's mistakes and the disdain for America, you know, which is, he hates the IRS. We all know that.
Yeah.
Right.
And Britney Spears. America is pretty much third in his obsession. So I'm going with that one, which with some reservations.
Okay. Sarah.
I mean, he does love those pre-colon, like a quick tip or about time. He also loves misogyny. He loves references that he doesn't actually have a firsthand basis for. Like he wouldn't be able to name any star of Nip Tuck or anything that ever happened in it. I'm not sure he actually had heard of IKEA either. I am very tempted by the house fuck up, because I feel like the editor would normally have caught that and gotten him out of his own way even a little bit, like without leaving home. But it is Boxing Day, so maybe the editor just wasn't there and nobody cared, or they gave themselves the holiday gift of not giving a shit if he was committing redundancies in his answers. There is a lot on offer here. I am horribly ashamed of all of us for that reason. I think it's paint over each other's mistakes. Every now and then, he just gets a good line off, like Steve said, and leaves it at that.
I'm shocked you think Mullen was subject to an editor at any time.
Truly, truly.
Guys, no one guessed the Mullen.
Oh,
the Mullen is a quick tip, getting rid of your teeth. Oh, that makes any room bigger.
Wow. I talked myself
Listen
out
to
of it.
You
God
talking yourselves
it.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, I eliminated that one right at the top. I was like, there's no way.
I considered it because, like, TV set.
See,
of course.
I didn't think he used colons. So,
yep. Yeah. Do you think Jim Mullen's listening somehow right now and he's like rubbing his hands together? Oh, yeah. You fools.
He can't figure out podcasts.
No,
he can't.
Definitely.
He's demanding an apology because we were not familiar with his game.
He gets his daughter to listen to the podcast and put it in an email and then print out the email.
All right, time to reveal. Emptied the dishwasher was Sarah D. Bunting, who gets a point. Capitalizing on the trend with Nip Tuck also gets a point. That was Steven.
Oh.
IKEA was David J. Roth. Painting over each other's mistakes with David T. Cole, who gets 2 points for that one.
So,
and how much people want to get out of their own houses without leaving their house. Jeff Drake gets a point for that as well.
So it's the Canadian that hates America. Got it.
Mm-hmm. We're Americans now too, technically.
Oh, true.
For Number now. Three, from September 12th, 2003, Ellen DeGeneres. Her daytime talk show premieres this week. Punchline number one, the toughest part will be convincing the guests to stand up. Number two, but should you really be watching it when you should be out looking for a job? Number three, first Rosie, then Caroline Ray, and now Ellen. At this rate, every comedian gets a turn until Carrot Top is on at 3 p.m. Number four, no word on whether Laura Dern has agreed to be her band leader. Number five, if this doesn't inspire the unemployed to go out and get a job, nothing will. And number six, luckily, you will be at work.
What the hell is the Laura Dern one?
Wow. I mean, I can tell you, but I don't want to tip it.
Okay.
No, wow. I have to vote based on what I know, which is nothing, apparently.
That's right. David J. Roth, you are leading us off this round.
Laura Dern was the woman that was the other half of the first gay kiss.
That's
All right. That's good. Otherwise, there was a part of me where I was kind of like, leave Laura Dern out of this. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was a lot funnier before I knew that. Yeah. That was a really funny joke before I knew that.
Take her name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Just randomly. So, why is she the band leader? Great. Perfect. No notes.
It does feel like the smart play here is to do the you shouldn't be watching TV when you should be at work or whatever, because it seems like everyone was able to lock into that. But then it's a question of where do you go within that? I mean, half of these options are that. I'm going to go with luckily you will be at work. It is pithy, and he sort of, my reach exceeded my grasp on my last one. At the very least, it's like a bad idea executed fairly poorly, but not quite as poorly as last time I overestimated it.
All right, Steven.
Oh, man. I like that one. So inspire the unemployed to go out and get a job. Nothing will. And when you should really be watching it, we're looking at, well, he assumes all the readers don't have a job, which is very confusing to me. I think Caroline Ray and Ellen, I mean, I can see that being his fucking coup de grace. He sat down, poured himself a glass of milk, and was just like, I'm so goddamn proud of myself. I am basically, this is a packet for Conan. I could just send this in. I don't understand stand up, which maybe is why I'm going to pick that.
Wow.
I just don't get it, but I swear about 2 out of every 10, of Real Mullins, I read and I can't figure out no matter how many times I read it. Mm. So I'm going with that one.
Jeff.
Wow. I mean, here's the thing. A lot of things that you're like, that's so Mullen-y, but they're like a third rail. You're like, Carrot Top. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's fucking in his wheelhouse, Carrot Top. And then it's like, oh, but wait, is that the insidious use from one of these other very talented people imitating this?
Okay.
I mean, and Steven, I mean, I gotta say, like, I think it's very funny to imagine him celebrating with drinking milk, but I like to think he's just fucking hardcore heroin. He just fucking does heroin and goes away for a couple of days. Mm. It's one or the other. There's no in between with Mullen. Should you really be watching it when you should be out looking for a job? That's the most mean one. I'm going to go with that.
All right, Sarah.
I am very tempted by Rosie, Caroline Ray, and Ellen because it takes such a long time and like leads you so carefully along to get to the quote punch quote line. Mm-hmm. I have to agree on the Carrot Top thing. I just think that he would feel like that was too mean to Carrot Top, or maybe has enjoyed Carrot Top in the past. And I also agree with the idea that because the unemployment shit keeps coming up, that one of them is the Mullen. The question is, which one is badly written enough, but not too badly written to be the Mullen? So I gotta go with Inspire the Unemployed as my Mullen selection.
David T. Cole.
I'm going simple, quick, and direct. Luckily, you will be at work.
The Mullen has been guessed. The Mullen is, but should you really be watching it when you should be out looking for a job?
Wow.
So Jeff Grake gets Woo! 2 points for guessing that one, and one more point for writing. The toughest part will be convincing the guests to stand up.
Oh, what does that mean, Jeff?
Beautiful. Yeah. What is it?
From her being a stand-up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
You were really in like the mud room of your brain. Like you had not like entered into the domicile part of it.
And honestly, it was like, I wrote one. Okay, moving on.
Yep.
All right, Carrot Top is Dave Cole. Laura Dern is Sarah D. Bunting.
Yay.
Inspire the Unemployed is David J. Roth. Luckily, you will be at work, Stephen Fogg.
Nicely done.
Nice.
Well done, all. Next.
Wow. Well done.
Well done. Number 4. February 21st, 2003. Bathroom TVs. The latest trend, a flat screen over your tub. Here are our punchlines. Number 1. The risk of electrocution is more than worth it for the chance to watch Monk in the nude. Number 2. Gives new meaning to the term soap opera. Number 3. Also hot, a toaster on the edge of your swimming pool. Number 4, it's the perfect way to watch Liza and David's wedding and then drown yourself afterwards. Number 5, what do you do during commercials? Go to the living room? And number 6, finally, a way to watch Friends while making none. Jeff.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus. Those are good.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Just a sickening display, gentlemen.
I know, it's awful.
Here's the shitty thing. These are all better than Mullen. Yeah.
That's what's so diabolical about this game.
I know. Super diabolical. I'm going to go old school. New meaning to the term soap opera.
Okay. Going in the correct order this time. Steven.
God damn it. I'm tempted by what do you do during commercials? Go to the living room. I'm tempted by the toaster at the edge of the swimming pool, but does he know anyone with a he's probably jealous of people with a swimming pool.
Well, I'll let you know this much, Steve. We do know that he lived/lives somewhere in like
he's in
top half of New York State.
No, he's in Arizona.
Oh, okay, back in the day he was then, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he may have moved.
Oh, God. Friends While Making None is also so good. Yeah. It's so good. You guys, these are so good. I really almost want to give it to Monk. I don't care who wrote it.
Sometimes you do both. You have to give somebody a point.
Of course.
For their joke. Yeah.
More than worth it for the chance. It's just the wording is a little too good. I'm going to go commercials, go to the living room. I don't know.
Okay. Sarah.
Go to the living room. I feel like I know who wrote that one, and it's definitely too good for Mullen, but you have all my love. I have a feeling I know who wrote Monk, too. And I would also love to give that one credit, but oh my God, the Liza and David one is also like, it's so close, but I just don't think he necessarily knew about that. So I gotta go with Friends. Watch Friends While Making None, because I feel like one of his stalking horses was, if you watch TV, then you're an unsocialized mole person. So that feels like Mullen. So I'm going to go with Friends.
David T. Cole.
My first thought when I was writing these was the soap opera joke. So I'm hesitant to guess it because I don't want it to be Mullen, because that means my first thought was Mullen thought. I really want to pick Toaster on the Edge of Your Swimming Pool because it suggests death without actually wishing it upon somebody. But I also don't know, even though it's a very common word, it's been used forever, I don't know if Mullen would say also hot. That little detail, I don't know if it's in his brain.
Well, it was called Jim Mullen's Hot Sheet.
I know, but I don't even know if he made that up. You know what I mean? That could have been somebody at EW. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a gamble on the hot and go with Toaster on the Edge of the Swimming Pool.
Wow. All
right. Okay. David J. Roth.
I really liked the "what are you doing" commercials go to the living room, like just as a joke. If he wrote that, my hat is off to him. Otherwise, like that was, it's just antique enough to in the shape of it that like it has, like there's not a way to deliver that that doesn't involve doing like an accidental Jerry Seinfeld voice kind of.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Hitting the long, lavish beat between like somewhere in there. But I'm going to go with the toaster on the edge of the swimming pool. Feels like the implied threat of harm. And then also the kind of like classic, anything you do near water will electrocute you, canard, that I remember very strongly from my youth.
Strong round for Stephen Falk, who wrote, also hot, A Toaster on the Edge of Your Swimming Pool, and guessed the Mullen, what do you do during commercials? Go to the living room.
Oof. He wrote that?
Yeah.
He wrote that.
He does good at, like, once out of every 40 is like a really good joke.
You're like, oh, that sounds like a human.
Worst part about him.
Dang.
The rest, Risk of Electrocution, Watch Monk in the Nude, was David J. Roth.
Yay. What? Good job.
Whoops. Oh, guessing the wrong Daves.
Gives new meaning to the term soap opera was Sarah D. Bunting. It's the perfect way to watch Liza and David's wedding and then drown yourself afterwards, Jeff Drake. And finally, a way to watch Friends While Making None, David T. Cole.
Oh, very well.
I thought you were Monk.
Monk in the Nude.
Yeah, that was me kind of just giving myself a little treat. Like, I was trying to go first thought, best thought with these, but typing watch Monk in the Nude, I was kind of like, do you really want to delete it, though? Like, you just typed it. Like, just leave it there.
Number five, from April 26th, 2002, The Osbournes. The family reportedly wants MTV to pay them millions for a second season. Here are the punchlines. Number one, they'd have to pay me millions to watch. Number two, still no word on where people that watched the first season could go to claim their damages. Number three, as part of the contract negotiation, Ozzy promises to try to enunciate. Number four, for that kind of money, you could get the Osmonds. Number five, that'll buy a lot of bats. And number six, Ozzy says he needs the money for subtitles.
Oh my God, Jesus, guys.
Okay.
What are you going to do, though? Not play the game? Do another episode of your podcast?
Yeah, so, okay. So, the Osmonds is far too good, although he probably has seven of their albums, right, lying next to his turntable. Bats is always the first thought, and often he is first thought, best thought.
Yep.
Pay me millions and damages. There's subtitles and enunciation. That'll buy a lot of bats for that kind of money. I am going to go, I'm going to go, that'll buy a lot of bats. Okay. First thought, best thought.
Sarah.
That is first thought, best thoughty. I agree. But once again, we're in the there's two of a kind here. So one of them might be the Mullen. Casting my mind back, lo, these many years to the Osbournes, feel like the whole mushmouth Ozzy thing was definitely what would have penetrated Mullen's brain. Osmond's is too good. So it's down to subtitles and enunciate for me. And I think it's subtitles. Needs the money for subtitles.
Okay. Dave. David T. Cole.
Yeah, I agree with Sarah said, except I'm just going to pick enunciate to distribute points and hopefully start catching up because I am way behind.
Okay. David J. Roth.
I'm getting sped up, as they say, when quarterbacks are playing badly here. Like I'm chasing the Mullen brainwave, and I don't feel like I'm going to go with that'll buy a lot of bats because it is kind of good and very obvious, and that seems to be what the trend has been so far.
Jeff.
I think I'm not going to pick as David did with the enunciate because I feel like that makes more sense than Ozzy having the need for subtitles because Ozzy doesn't need subtitles. Ozzy understands Ozzy. Subtitles are for other people. And
we're
so,
through the looking glass here with this one.
Yeah, for that reason, we really are.
For that reason, I'm awarding somebody in this Zoom points and picking money for subtitles because I'm sure I'm wrong.
You are. The Mullen was not picked.
Boink.
The Mullen is. For that kind of money, you could get the Osmonds.
Come on.
What?
You know.
What? Wow.
Get it together.
Mullen.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Phonics humor. Sounds.
Yes, that was right. Because it doesn't really make sense.
It makes no sense.
We had so many theories and so many thoughts about how this would play out. And here at the end, Mullen is the one laughing at us.
Is he dissing the Osmonds? So he thinks the Osmonds are great.
You could get the Osmonds for so much cheaper.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what everyone did. They'd have to pay me millions to watch was Jeff. No word on where people that watch the first season can go to claim their damages was David J. Roth. Ozzy promises to try to enunciate Stephen Falk. Mm. Buy a lot of bats. Sarah D. Bunting.
Nice. Oh,
needs the money for subtitles. David T. Cole.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He gotcha. And so did Sarah. All right, number six from May 26th, 2000. Friends, the stars will stay put for $750,000 an episode.
I just want to say before you read them out, he loves money amounts.
Yeah, he does.
He loves money amounts.
He does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Number one, maybe now they can finally afford more than two apartments. Number two, I'll be there for you and for $750,000 bucks, !! Next, number three, it's outrageous, !! You'd think they were basketball players. Number four, that's almost enough to cover rent in a Manhattan apartment their size. Number five, the chick and the duck settled for seed money. Number six, and so will David Schwimmer.
Wow, that one's great. Oh. If somebody wrote that here, kudos.
Oh, that's good.
So mean.
I enjoy that one.
Sarah, you are starting us on this round.
No! David Schwimmer, I am tempted to give it to because that's a real rib shot. Yep. But I think it's too good for him, although we've been wrong about this before. So many of these are just peak Mullen curdled resentment of athletes, television stars.
The basketball one is really good. Yeah.
I do feel like he would be harping on Manhattan apartment size. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with that one.
David T. Cole.
Yeah, the apartment one is tempting because that is sort of like the whole thing about New York set shows, which is how can they ever afford the size of the apartment that they are actually living in? But I'm just going to do it. I'm giving it to David Schwimmer.
Got it. Sometimes you got to tip your cap.
Someone's got to.
Yeah. this is far enough along in the show's run that I feel like all the jokes about how do they, you know, work in a coffee shop and live in an apartment like that would have been made like during the previous presidential administration.
Right.
Like that's like late 90s stuff.
It's worth saying, though, I don't believe he has watched 90% of the stuff that he talks about.
Also has been said by real comedians. And then he's a few years later.
Right? Yeah. And that's exactly kind of how I talked myself into it, was the idea of being like that. It's like this is an established bit that you would have to have been completely outside of all the discourse to be like grandly presenting it as your own and being like the main course, duck a la range. Like it just doesn't, I'm going to take it because I admire how obvious it is. The Manhattan apartment.
Jeff.
I do just want to say that I texted Tara about this. I read two in the archive that had the same punchline. That was, this person has a learner's permit to kill. One was a joke about Frankie Muniz. And one was about Halle Berry. And as I said to Tara, the first time ever those two stars have been in the same conversation.
Wow.
I'm so, as far as like, will he say something that is like a tired, tired old joke? 100%. I'm going to go for basketball players.
Okay. And finally, Steve.
Yeah, I'm tempted by basketball players. Take that out of context. Finally formed more than two apartments is a little too inside, like that there's only two sets, I guess. But yeah, so I'm going to go with Manhattan apartment.
Jeff picked the Mullen, which is, it's outrageous. You'd think they were basketball players.
Yep. Damn, that's it. A good one.
Jeff wrote, maybe now they can finally afford more than two apartments. Steve wrote, I'll be there for you and for $750,000. David T. Cole is responsible for that's almost enough to cover rent in a Manhattan apartment there. So
nice. Nice.
The chick and the duck settled for seed money is Sarah D. Bunting. And so will David Schwimmer. A joke I also laughed out loud at when I put it in the stock was David J. Roth.
Nicely done. Yeah. Enjoy that point. You deserve it.
I tried to get Schwimmer immediately. And so I thought maybe that's no. Maybe
yeah. I didn't know if Schwimmer would be like, if he would be comfortable joking around about him at this point, or if like Schwimmer still carries a lot of water in this town or whatever.
Yeah, he was working up a pitch to try to attack Schwimmer, so he probably didn't want to.
Sorry, who did I'll Be There For You and $750,000?
Me.
A demonstration of too much friends knowledge, I think, there. Yeah.
Number 7 from June 8th, 2001, The Sopranos. The series recently debuted in Italy. Punchline number 1. Guess Italian execs got an offer they couldn't refuse. Number 2, it will be shown there on HBO Mamma Mia! Exclamation mark. Number 3, they know all about the mafia already, but are they really prepared to learn what New Jersey is?
Oh my God.
Number 4, the Vatican put out a statement, forget about it. Number 5, they made them an offer HBO couldn't refuse. And number 6, except over there, it's called Father Knows Best.
What?
David T. Cole.
What?
Wow.
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 Much to think about.
Oh. Boy, the one that speaks to me, but I think it's too long for Mullen, which makes me question myself, is they know all about the mafia already, but they are prepared to learn what New Jersey is.
Yeah.
Makes my Mullen porch on my brain tingle. I don't understand the Father Knows Best at all. I don't understand what that is, which doesn't exclude it for sure. And I really love HBO Mamma Mia. I'm tempted to Schwimmer this and give that a point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with New Jersey, even though I think it's too long for Mullen.
All right. David J. Roth.
I am drawn towards Father Knows Best for the reason that David just explained, which is that it's just like another thing, just another show that you could say the name of and leave it at that. Forget about it is bad enough that I feel like a certain confidence in attaching it to Mullen. Just in general, like looking at it there on the page, I'm like, feels like our guy. So I'm going to claim that.
All right, Jeff.
Okay. Wow. Guys, I'm proud of all of us. I'm going to go with Father Knows Best because, as David Ross said, it's just another show. But also, it's like, it's so old. Like, it's such an old show. Yeah. It's a terrible punchline. And so, if I'm giving somebody points, you just know that you truly, truly channeled Mullen here. So,
Steven.
What I enjoy is that two people referenced a different mafia movie, The Godfather, when making Mullen's joke about The Sopranos, which is pretty high level Mullen. Yes. Or Mullen and one of you. That said, I think I'm going to go for New Jersey. I think this was another one where he laid it all out on the table that day, had a glass of milk, and was very proud of himself.
Sarah D. Bunting. If you can't get this one, we are fucked.
we are. And we deserve it, honestly. The offer HBO couldn't refuse, I think, is that case of not one of these must be the Mullen, but maybe all of us have been spending a little too much time thinking about this same list of things at the same time. So I think those cancel each other out this time. New Jersey is exactly the kind of like easy pot shot that he would take. It's a little too long, not constructed very well. But there's also an argument for Oh Mamma Mia, which kind of doesn't make any sense, and Father Knows Best, which really is just like, let's remember a black and white show. Forget About It is a little too good. I gotta go New Jersey. I think he's that much of a dick.
Jeff guessed the Mullen again, except over there it's called Father Knows Best.
God damn it.
What a guy.
What does that, we have to call him right now.
I was spending that whole question trying to figure out his exact age, but the internet does not know it, to try to extrapolate backwards if he would have watched Father Knows Best. I can only guess he did.
What does that mean?
Because there's a dad.
No,
there's
idea.
A dad in it. I honestly, like, I feel like this is one of those things where you have to get kicked in the head by a donkey. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, right. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And there they moved to Arizona.
I mean, honestly, it wasn't in the running for me until the two Davids talked about it. And I was like, oh, wait a second. This doesn't make sense. And B is like so old. So.
This isn't about that particular question, but I just want to let everybody know he wrote a book called It Takes a Village, Idiot.
Yeah,
he did. Memoir of life after the city. He used to live in Manhattan and now he lives in the Catskills at this time. Right there, right at the bottom, the author of Entertainment Weekly's wildly popular Hot Sheet column.
How could they possibly know that? It's a thing in a parent magazine, but whatever. Here's what everyone did. Italian execs got an offer they couldn't refuse with Sarah D. Bunting. HBO Mamma Mia was Jeff.
Very good, Jeff.
New Jersey, David J. Roth. Mm. Forget About It, David T. Cole. Offer HBO couldn't refuse. Parallel Thought from Stephen Falk. And then Father Knows Best, of course, Mullen. All right, we are almost at the halfway point from January 15th, 1999. Monday Night Football. Viewership is down for the fourth year in a row. Your punchlines. Number one, maybe they need a buzzier play-by-play guy. I hear OJ is available. Number two, have they considered putting Bill Clinton's impeachment trial on at halftime to boost ratings? Number three, because the internet is an even better way for men to ignore their families. Number four, might be time for that TRL crossover. Number five, the main problem, NFL fans are all blotto on their couches by 6 p.m. And number six, more people are tuning into Ally McBeal. At least she's got a better offensive line. Everyone is baffled.
This is so depraved, the whole thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. But the differences on this one, each one of them, I have like a Mullen no-no.
Mm. Okay, well, ponder that because you're last to pick. Okay, David good. J. Roth, start us off.
You're basically looking for what is the easiest referent put in the cheapest looking frame, right? Like, it's just, but there's a lot there. In that regard, OJ seems too hard, like in the sense that that's like edgier. I'm going to say Bill Clinton's impeachment trial, just because it sucks enough that it could be. So that's my answer.
Okay, Jeff.
So luckily for me, I have a six-sided coin and I flipped it and it came up. The main problem, NFL fans are all blotto on their couches by 6 p.m.
Okay.
You know, Jeff, we actually do have six-sided coins. They're really common.
Really? I haven't heard of these. What's it look like?
I don't know. I can't remember the name.
Okay.
Steven.
I'm tempted by Bill Clinton.
and basketball players.
And basketball players.
I feel like blotto is a little bit of a giveaway. It feels a little too channeling Mullen. Oh, but it might be Mullen channeling himself.
Exactly my thought.
This is how this game gets in your head.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure he thinks football fans are meatheads and drunks. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
Blotto.
Sarah D. Bunting.
I had the same issue with blotto. I am torn between two known Mullen bugaboos, or bugaboo, if you prefer, the internet and Ms. McBeal. I don't think he knows what an O-line is, though, so internet it is.
Okay, David T. Cole.
Buzzier, I don't think, belongs in the first one. I had some reservations about the second one, but Roth talked me out of it. Internet too early, TRL outside of his knowledge base, Blotto, and then Ally McBeal just being something that, well, actually, maybe that one. Maybe, like, whoever wrote that is really smart, but let's just put that aside. I'm going to go with Roth and let's say Bill Clinton's impeachment trial and against all good sense.
Well, Jeff and Dave Roth guessed each other's, and I think that's beautiful. But the answer is because the internet is an even better way for men to ignore their families.
Wow. What? Which is pretty edgy for him. That's fast. Can I say a word on why I chose to use Blotto? Because I think I got called out for it effectively here. So the dumbest thing I did, I tried to go first thought, best thought with all my answers. And then before I filed them to Tara, I went through and made every sentence worse in one way. I tried to find like some, the New Jersey one, ending that sentence with the word is. I hate that. I never do that in my actual writing, but I was like, that looks dumb.
This is the kind of information you should give out at the end of the show, Dave.
I'm just saying, everybody already knows my shit's the ones that are going to be too long. But Blotto, I was like, this is maybe too much. And I think I deserve to be dinged for it being too much.
No. I guessed it. It was good.
Blotto is a really fun word, though. I enjoy seeing it wherever I come across.
It's like a real antique.
Mid-century classic.
Yes,
for
it
sure.
is. Yeah.
This was one where I made a tweak. So Steve originally filed, maybe they need a more buzzy play-by-play guy, and I changed it to buzzier to be more pithy. But so if that fucked you, I'm sorry. But I think the issue is
buzzy.
Where do
you get off changing our answers?
I'm sorry. That was Steve. Bill Clinton's impeachment was Jeff. TRL crossover was Sarah D. Bunting. Blotto, of course, Dave Roth. And tuning into Ally McBeal was Dave.
It was too clever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good, though.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101 night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
All right, before we get into our second half of Mullen-Mark 3, let's find out where you can find out more about our guest. Let's start off with David J. Roth. Where can people find more David J. Roth?
All the writing that I do at defector.com, which is the website that I am a co-owner and editor at, all of the writing is exactly like the writing that I do in this. And so if you're enjoying this type of insight into the culture and this type of facility with language, ending sentences with the word is, making the most obvious joke possible, defector.com. You got to subscribe, of course, but I think it's worth it for that.
Absolutely.
Mr. Jeff Drake, where can people find more Jeff Drake?
Well, I'm on Blue Sky for the 13 people who are on Blue Sky with me at Hate the Drake. And then I also do a podcast about the worst comic strip ever called Nine Chickweed Lane. That's the strip. Our podcast is called Nine Chickweed Rage that I do with my longtime friend Brooke Dillman, who is also a voice actress. And of course, it's you can find it everywhere that they have podcasts, Nine Chickweed Rage.
And Stephen Falk, a.k.a. Steve, where can people find more about you?
Oh, hi. They can go to a website called Instagram and follow me at Stephen Falk. Or they can watch my show, You're the Worst, that I did for 5 years on Hulu.
Wow.
Or, yeah, that's about it.
Thank you so much. All right, here are our scores. Sarah D. Bunting has 7. David T. Cole has 9. David J. Roth and Stephen Falk are tied with 10. But Jeff Drake is in the lead with 12.
Wow.
Remember earlier when I said smash cut to Jeff Drake winning the whole day?
Yeah.
I don't feel good. I feel very ill right now.
That's how you can tell it's working.
It's tingling.
Yep.
Number 9 from October 23rd, 1998. Allie McBeal, her skirts will be going up another inch this year. Here are the punchlines. Number 1, by 2001, they'll just be belts. Number 2, maybe they should make their sandwiches go up another inch. Everyone in that cast looks like they could use an Allie McMeal. Number 3, and men all over America will move their lazy boys another inch closer to the screen. Number 4, next year she'll be on the Spice Channel. Number 5, it was that or hire a better writing team. Number 6, actually, when it's that short, it's not a skirt, it's a long choker.
Jesus.
Wow.
Going first this time, Jeff Drake.
Shit. Oh, no. Oh, God. I hate when I go first on this because I like hearing everybody rule things out for me. I love belts. I love long choker. Then I like long choker now the more I think about it because it really doesn't make sense. And so I'm drawn to it now that I've noticed that. Oh, I hate this game. I'm going to go lazy boy another inch closer.
All right, Steven.
Oh boy, it's either that one or writing team, because he clearly doesn't know that it's a writing staff. So for that reason, or I was outthought by someone who was clever enough to put writing team, I'm guessing writing team.
All right, Sarah D. Bunting.
That is such an excellent point. Writing team is now in play for me, along with long choker, which, yeah, yes. What? Just say belt, which someone also did. So now I'm very confused.
It can't be a choker and be long. It can't. That's just and also impossible. Wrong.
That's a cape.
Part. Yeah, I just don't. It is a cape. It's a poncho. The Allie McMeal is like a little too sort of baggy and mulliny. I just... Oh, the Spice Channel is also tempting. These are all good. You're all terrible. We are terrible. Lazy Boys is my answer.
Thank you. David T. Cole.
Here's my problem with Lazy Boys. And when I say problem is problem, whether I should pick it or not, it's not Lazy E Boys. It's Lazy Boy is the name.
Oh,
of it.
Good
you
point.
Lay down on it. And it's not. And the E makes it you are lazy. But did he know that? And did the editors catch it is my issue here. The other thing, yeah, which is really inside baseball,
editors,
is Allie McMeal. Allie McMeal, which I love, has an italicized sandwiches, which I don't know if anybody here would do. But it's the sort of thing that Tara would add to the doc because she's italic crazy. Whenever there's a title, even though it's never going out to the public, she will italicize it in her docs. That's a little, that might be an unfair advantage. So I'm putting it out there. But I am going to pick Allie McMeal, not for the italics, but because I fucking love that joke.
I also really admire, maybe they should make their sandwiches go up another inch. That's not what a sandwich does at all. Like, I mean, it does if you put more stuff in it, but it's not like a bike pump makes your sandwich larger as you fill it with air.
Maybe not where you live.
Yeah, maybe that's right. That's more of a Central Jersey thing than a North Jersey.
It's a Catskills thing, apparently. Yep.
All right. So Ally McNeil, wonderful. Love the thought. Also kind of like Spice Channel here, because that feels very 90s in the sense that it's like that's about as edgy as you could get then. And then also that's where you would have to go to find pornography. I'm going to go with Lazy Boys due to the previously established thing that he thinks that everybody that's watching these are hogs. And so he's just like, what would a beast of the field do when presented with this?
When that turns out to be the answer, I'm going to be livid. Livid.
Well, it's not. The Mullen was not guessed. 2001, they'll just be belts. That was Sarah D. Bunting. Mm. Sandwiches, Jeff Drake.
Very good, Jeff.
Really good.
Steve, I was feeling bad when Dave called it out that I didn't edit Lazy Boys, but it doesn't seem to have hurt you because you got 3 points for Lazy Boys.
Good work.
Yay!
Vice nice. Channel is David T. Cole. Writing team is David J. Roth. And oof. Actually, when it's that short, it's not a skirt, it's a long God. Choker, was fucking mullet.
Listen, Jeff, when you got angry at it, you should have picked it immediately.
Yeah,
I know. I should have.
That's really good advice, actually.
I mean, because it's probably the thing that has made the least sense so far. A mm-hmm. long choker.
It's also especially that's I guess how he knew that his column was wildly popular, was that every week they would get a bunch of letters that would be like, "That's not how a choker works," and they're just going by raw volume of postage received.
And he just thought he was getting fan mail. Yeah, and he was just like, oh, I can't answer all this fan mail. Why is it getting bigger every week?
You should make my sandwiches go up.
Number 10. From April 18th, 1998, MTV Russia, the former Soviet Republic, will finally get a music video channel. Here are your punchlines. Number one.
Oh, boy.
Its first reality show is called The Real Cold World. Number two. They'll be clamoring for a return to communism within 2 weeks of hearing Christina Aguilera for the first time.
Oh, that's good.
Number three, ooh. The VJs have to pause between songs for bread lines. Number four, who needs food when you can have Beavis and Butthead? Number five, probably not the perestroika Mr. Gorbachev had in mind. And number six, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this VJ. Okay. You guys proud?
No, I don't feel Steve, very good.
Steve, you're up first.
Sorry, I hate this. Please don't play this. Like, edit this out. But is it too late to quit?
Yeah.
Okay, you can record again. Wow, clamoring for a return to.
So
I mean, obviously, the minute I saw Soviet Union, it was just going to be a historical mess of what was actually happening and the US and breakup. And then there's tear down the wall, which is not even Russia. It's East Germany. And I don't know what to do. he probably thinks bread lines and food, very easy, not the perestroika. I don't know if he knows that word. Christina Aguilera, a little too good. Real cold. It's either Real Cold World or Beavis and Butthead. But Real Cold World doesn't make any sense. So it's probably, I'm going Beavis and Butthead.
All right, Sarah.
Aguilera is tempting, but I don't think he'd tangle with her. And that seems like this has been padded to make it seem more Mulaney entry from a David. We'll see if I'm right. We'll also see if I'm right that Beavis and Butthead was the Mullen.
Okay. David T. Cole.
Yeah, I'm going with Beavis and Butthead only because there's the hyphen between butt and head, and I feel like that's an editor
that is
at work.
Yeah, I was going to say that is how his name is spelled technically. On his mm-hmm.
David J. Roth.
Tear down this VJ is actually very funny to me, but it is also, like, as was pointed out, just an absolute hash nonsense. Real Cold World doesn't make no damn sense. I'm going to pick that.
All right. Wrapping up with Jeff Drake.
Okay. I'm going to call this the Stephen Falk rule. The thing that made me the angriest is the one I'm going to vote for. And it's pause between songs for bread lines because that doesn't make sense. You stand in a bread line. And how would you pause between songs to go stand? That doesn't make sense to me. So I'm going with bread.
A lot of points were earned in this round. I'll just go through in order. Its first reality show is called The Real Cold World, was Mr. Stephen Falk.
Padding this guy's stats.
They'll be clamoring for a return to communism within 2 weeks of hearing Christina Aguilera for the first time was David J. Roth. So Sarah was right. It was a David. The VJs have to pause between songs for bread lines was the other David, T. Cole.
Damn it.
Who needs food when you can have Beavis and Butthead? Mullen.
Yes. Yes.
Probably not the perestroika Mr. Gorbachev had in mind was Sarah D. Bunting. And Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this VJ was Jeff.
Boo, boo. I'm mad at you now, Jeff.
So many fights.
Moving on. Number 11 from July 18th, 1997. Aaron Spelling, his 45-room Holmby Hills mansion has a leaky roof. Here are your punchlines. Number one, the family's bunking at the Bellage, the entire Bellage, while it's getting repaired. Number two, even his shingles want a spinoff. Number three, he's having pots and pans custom made to catch the drips. Number four, if only this guy could catch a break! Exclamation mark. Number five, and in worse news, it's only a one-tory building. And number six, Aaron Spelling, more like errant ceiling.
What the hell's that last one?
One Tory building needs to immediately just walk out of their room.
Can I quit?
No, you can't. You have to go first, Sarah D. Bunting.
Oh, my God.
I mean, even his shingles want a spinoff is such a, you know, I am 2 minutes from deadline and my heroin milk is waiting. I fuck this entry that it is tempting. Pots and pans custom made to catch the drips. Also very tempting. If only this guy could catch a break is tempting. I think one Tory building is like a bridge to Mullen. Mm. Here, errant ceiling, definitely, you know, I nod to you, sir. But, wow, I think it's if only this guy could catch a break.
Okay. David T. Cole.
I genuinely do not remember which one is mine.
Yes, Dave was the first one to file his. That was on Friday, 2 days ago.
We're all getting the like HAL computer from 2001 getting shut down. That's like happening to our brains in real time on this podcast.
Somebody is definitely pulling my memory chips as we speak. Pots and pans. I like pots and pans.
Pots and pans.
Custom pots and pans.
David J. Roth.
Again, it's all been said. Many hideous options. Shingles spinoff for me, please.
Okay, Jeff.
Okay, I'm torn because I'm going to say them out loud, and so two people are going to go like, please give me a point because I'm guaranteed that neither of these is the Mullen. They feel it though. If only this guy could catch a break. Feels really solidly in his wheelhouse. Why wouldn't he love Aaron Spelling? I'm going to go with that one. Okay. Shingles was the other one I was for whoever. Sorry.
Steven.
I'm so tempted to do one Tory building.
It's really good.
I want to give credit. I want to give love. And the 1% chance it's Mullen, I want to win.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, though. I'm going to pick custom pots and pans.
He's having pots and pans custom made to catch the drips is the Mullen.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Boat raced now. This is
bunking
exciting.
At the Bellage with Sarah D. Bunting. And Sarah, I considered getting back to you and saying, because I wasn't playing, so I would be the only one to know that was a tell. Like anyone else would say Beverly Hills Hotel or something. That's a 90210 thing.
I was so blocked on this shit that I was like, I'm just going to do a joke for Tara.
I appreciated it and I loved it. Yeah. Even if Shingles want a spinoff is David T. Cole. If only guy could catch a break, Stephen Falk. One Tory building, fan favorite, Jeff Drake.
Yay.
Finally, Aaron Spelling, more like Aaron Ceiling, far too good from David Shingles.
Was it too good? Oh. Is that the word?
No, it's not good. It's not good. She didn't mean that.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much.
Okay. Number 12. From May 31st, 1996, John Tesh. He's leaving.
I just fell out of my head after 3 days. You bastard.
He's leaving Entertainment Tonight to write more new age music. Here are your punchlines. Number one, looks like Entertainment Reporting's loss is now new age music's loss. Number two, now how are ET viewers supposed to learn when it's Heather Locklear's birthday? Number three, you mean rude. There's not enough? Number four, great news, Yanni finally has a rival. Number five, at least Extra still has Yanni. And number six, guess you could say his motivation is crystal clear.
Oh, oh man.
Oh, Yanni. Dueling Yanni.
Yeah. What's the, wow. I guess I'm not allowed to, I don't understand the Yanni stuff.
Well, you're first. So great. That's going to be hard on you.
It is going to be.
Yeah. Yanni's a new, I think Yanni's a new
Oh, I know who Yanni is. Musician. I just don't understand it in the context of Extra still has Yanni. Like, was the, he couldn't have been a host on Extra.
I have no idea.
I'm not going to try and explain anything for obvious reasons.
The first one's so savage. It looks like Entertainment Reporting's loss is now new age music's loss.
That's a really
pH
good joke.
Of 1.5. Gorgeous.
I also really like Heather Locklear's birthday because that's like a slightly dated reference given that this is, what is this, 96? TJ Hooker? Is that what she was on?
She was still on Melrose Place at this point.
Was she? Oh, wait. I'm thinking of the other one. That's not her.
Oh, Heather Thomas.
Yeah, Heather Thomas. Okay, never mind. I would say You Mean There's Not Enough is like too basic, but there's been three of those so far in this game. But, oh God, I'm just going to go with the first one. It's sad. New Age Music's Loss. I like it. So okay. I'm going to go with that one.
Dave Roth.
Yeah, on principle, I should give that one a point just because it is a really funny joke to me. Like, it's like too mean to be said in any sort of like late night context, really. Like, it's like a Norm MacDonald Weekend Update joke.
Yeah, but the other thing about Mullen, think about is like he is fine with really digging in on certain topics. Like he today would have this joke about vegans. Do you know what I mean? Like it feels safe to him to make fun of this.
That does make sense. And that's sort of, I'm drawn to the Yanni ones because they feel easy in that way where he's sort of like, I know another new age thing. And then just like saying the word Yanni and be like, that's it. Time for lunch. Like, I'll go with great news, Yanni has a rival because it's got the colon and it stinks. I feel like I've lost the thread a bit, but I'm gonna stay with
it. I love the colon as a Mullen marker. This is great. Yeah. We're really overthinking this.
I just like the combination of saying it's got the colon and it stinks. Zingus.
Something it has in common with all of every mammal.
So I just got back from the doctor, and he had one thing to say to me. It's got a colon, and it stinks.
Yanni!
I'll take the same one David Roth did. Yanni finally has a rival.
Okay. Steven.
I mean, Heather Locklear makes me angry because he's leaving, but they're still going to do the birthday thing. So it doesn't make sense. Crystal Clear is very tempting. I think I'm just going to go, you mean there's not enough.
And back to Sarah.
Yeah. New Age Music's loss. Flawlessly done, whoever that was. It certainly wasn't Mullen. I'm with Steve. Heather, they're still going to have the show, even though he's gone. I mean, good bumper crop, or bumper crap, I guess. But I, too, will be selecting Yanni finally has a rival.
Before we get into answers, is there meaning behind Yanni and the extra one?
I think the point is it's another show. Extra is another entertainment show, and he's another new age.
But just
artist.
The way it was worded, still has Yanni. Like, it felt like he was a mainstay on Extra. It really confused me.
Well, why don't you let Steve explain that one? Because it's
okay. Steve, explain yourself.
Oh, no, it's not supposed to make any sense.
Okay.
I picked another new age guy and another show and mashed them together.
Well, just know you got in my head. You got in my head something.
Okay. Here's everybody else. Looks like Entertainment Reporting's loss is now New Age Music's loss was Jeff Drake.
Yes.
Really now, good. How are ET viewers supposed to learn when it's Heather Locklear's birthday was Dave Roth.
Nice.
You mean there's not enough was Mullen.
Fuck!
Yes.
Damn it.
Fuck me! Yeah.
Yanni finally has a rival. That was Dave. Extra Yanni, of course, was Falk. And guess you could say his motivation is crystal clear. That was Sarah DeBunting.
Sarah. Very good.
I'm just, honestly, at this point, I'm taking pleasure from, if if I have come up with a thought that's bad enough in terms of how it was wrought and how it was written that I've frustrated one of you even briefly in one of these, then it's all been worth it. Like, I'm not going to win, but I now realize that I really do not want.
Yeah, it really is such a yin-yang situation. Yeah.
I mean, I just want to say specifically to David T. Cole that obviously I equate you with Jim Mullen because I'm voting for you consistently.
Yeah, me too.
I enjoy David Day Roth pulling the pin on the grenade and running into the room with his. Those are always fun answers.
All right. We're in the final quarter of this match.
All right.
From September 29th, 1995, the Miss America pageant. The public voted to keep the swimsuit competition. Here are your punchlines. Number one, no word on whether they also voted to keep the stupid questions about world peace. Number two, they also voted to get rid of the rest of the show, but ABC has it blocked out for 3 hours on the broadcast schedule. Number three, because nothing says talent like waterproof heels. Number four, but only because they love the fashions! Exclamation mark. Number five, Colin Powell came in second. And number six, and bikini waxing is now considered a, quote, talent, end quote.
Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
Leading off this round is David J. Roth.
Phew.
Yeah, what a mess. Colin Powell came in second is good because my first thought is like, I don't understand where you're going here. I'm going to say because nothing says talent like waterproof heels. I don't like the gag and I don't like how it's written. And that for that reason, I'm making that decision.
Okay. Jeff.
As much as I want to vote for Colin Powell, just to continue.
I think that
on
one was
my,
yours, Jeff.
Because.
And it stinks.
I love Colin's. Yeah.
It stinks.
As much as we've learned that Steven is drawn to different things, I'm obviously drawn to Colin's. I'm going to go with the X-Glam, but only because they love the fashions. Because the plural of fashion is very curious to me. So. That's where I'm going.
Okay, Steven.
I really want to do bikini waxing, but so far we seem to, when there's doubles, it seems to be us and not one of the Mullins, unless I'm remembering wrong.
I'm
going to cancel those out. I don't understand Colin Powell. They love the fashions is tempting. Stupid questions. It's blocked 3 hours blocked out is so explainy and Mullin-y. But I'm going to go for stupid questions about world peace. That sounds like first, what do I know about talent, these shows? Those questions. We're about world peace. I'm doing that one. It's hacky enough. Going for it.
All right, Sarah.
Many convincing arguments have been made here. ABC has it blocked out for 3 hours on the broadcast schedule is exactly the kind of how do you do, fellow readers, energy that Mullen has. But no word on is like so Mullen-y, but I think a couple of people in the group have definitely fooled me with the no word on, or I guess. So, I'm torn. But I'm going to go world peace. Why not?
Okay, Dave.
I just realized, Jeff Drake, that I've been returning the favor and picking a lot of yours just because I find them funny. And I think I'm going to continue by choosing Colin Powell came in second this time.
Wrong, that's the Mullen.
Yes!
Yes!
Can we call Mullen again? Why?
I knew once I ruled it out. I was like, this makes zero fucking sense.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
It's just another guy. An election happened. Who is a politics guy?
Yeah. And then it's so...
What?
Just
ship it.
It's a fucking...
ship it. Let's get that milk.
Jesus.
Questions about world peace was Jeff. Blocked out for 3 hours was Roth. Waterproof heels was David T. Cole.
Good for you.
Love the fashions was Falk. And bikini waxing was Sarah D. Bunting.
Damn it.
Number 14 from June 3rd, 1994. Rod Serling. They found two lost Twilight Zone scripts. Your punchlines. Number one, wonder if one of them is a fable about the dangers of shooting a discarded old teleplay. Number two, that's funny, they weren't here yesterday. Number three, they're set in a dimension we call ... cyberspace. Number four, or did they? Number five, turns out they were in Jimmy Hoffa's breast pocket all along. And number six, found along with them were pages of handwritten network notes. We are starting this round with Jeff Durake.
Diabolical.
I hate how the wheel spins and it gets to be my turn again.
Guys, we should start a writing team.
My waterproof heels and I will be right over.
Yeah.
Bell.
Okay, hang on.
Jeff is thinking, do you think Jim Mullen is underemployed at the moment and we can get him to give us...
To write more?
More of these? We can't tell him why, because that would, you know, skew the results.
We would have to
results.
Have him do like 100 of them, because once he figures out what they're for, he'll have us arrested, so...
Do you think he still got it?
Yes.
Okay.
As much as he ever did, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's still on the level that he was functioning at this point.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, all I don't think this muse can be excused.
The only thing is, he would have a harder time in the post-monoculture era, because he's not going to be able to come up with jokes about like Billie Eilish or any show on Apple TV Plus. You know what I mean?
Like we can. Well. .. All right, Jeff Drake.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to rule out cyberspace. That feels.
Really?
I'm just going to rule that one out. What do I know? Handwritten feels like a weird addendum to found along them were pages of handwritten network notes. I'm not sure why the notes would be handwritten or why he would say that specifically. And so I'm just going to go with the shortest one. Or did they?
Okay. Next is Stephen.
It's probably Stephen Falks. I keep voting for his.
You know, okay. That's funny. They weren't here yesterday. Seems they've found... I'm just looking at his wording because he makes the wording. Rod Serling is the headline. So Rod Serling, not Twilight Zone. They've found two lost Twilight Zone scripts. That's funny. They weren't here yesterday. Turns out they were in Jimmy. I wonder if one of them is a fable about the dangers of shooting a discarded old... You know... Jimmy Hoffa, it feels like it's one of you a-holes who wrote that just to tempt me. Mm-hmm. And yet I fell into the hole in which he's buried, and I'm going with Jimmy Hoffa.
Okay, Sarah.
Teleplay. Nice try. Not going for it. That's funny. They weren't here yesterday. A little too elegant. Or did they? Ditto. I'm with Steve. I am pretty sure Jimmy Hoffa is a trap, but we're all falling in it together. So Hoffa it is.
Dave.
Yeah. Cole. My first thought was, oh, Hoffa, that's such a direct line between this setup and the center of Mullen's brain. And it's such an easy things that were not here and now maybe they are. But it works in the opposite way. So, like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but that doesn't necessarily exclude it.
Sure doesn't.
No. I'm going to say that's funny. They weren't here yesterday because that doesn't... It feels like 10% Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to account for the not knowing anything about anything factor of it. And the idea of, like, this guy writes about popular culture, like the network notes for me is like that. There's enough like pretend savvy in that.
Mm.
I admire it, like just because it's like that's a very 90s like here's a thing that everybody knows about. But the that's funny. They weren't here yesterday, and or did they? Are both like the only thing I know about the Twilight Zone is that weird stuff happens in it, and they both kind of scan for me there. I'll go with or did they? Just in the presumption that. Again, if we assume that the man is chasing the next frosty mug of milk, typing three words would be the fastest way to get there.
Well, first of all, I want to say this is the only one that I remember my punchline for, and I think I could have fooled a couple of you with "they're always in the last dimension you look."
That's really good.
Yeah.
But I regret to tell you not only that Dave guessed the correct Mullen. That's funny. They weren't here yesterday, but he also wrote. Or did they?
Wow.
That's a four-point round for David T. Cole. Discarded Old Teleplay was Dave Roth. A Dimension We Call Cyberspace was Sarah. Jimmy Hoffa's Breast Pocket All Along, which also got 2 points for Jeff Drake. And Pages of Handwritten Network Notes was Stephen Falk.
Everybody's definitely identifying the different little parts of his brain. You know, the one that's dedicated to young girls, the one that's dedicated to like old mafia people. Mm-hmm. Like you're drilling down really well.
Yeah.
Why you need a writing
black and white sitcoms.
It's like putting together a heist.
Yeah.
It's a mind crime.
Mind crime.
Yeah. What was the demolitions expert?
I mean, but I just want to point out that in joke construction, he wrote, they've found two lost Twilight Zone scripts. That's funny. They weren't here yesterday. Which doesn't work at all.
Right. Yeah. No. But which is why it's him.
Yeah. Steve's falling into the overanalyzed trap.
I am.
Just two questions remain. Number 15 from May 7th, 1993. More whining from Tom and Roseanne is like the category. ABC put them through a living hell by making them rich and famous. Here are your punchlines. Number one, now they want the couple to sing the anthem at the network holiday party. Number two, but Roseanne has put Tom through a living hell just by being herself. Number three, and by forcing them to appear on a new Family Matters spinoff called Money Matters More. Number four, they're nostalgic for the days when the only people who were sick of them were living in the trailer next door. Number five, someone get them a sympathy yacht. And number six, and the network expects to be thanked? Starting this one with Stephen Falk.
Oh, Jesus. God damn it. No. Okay. More whining. I mean, right there in the topic. He's in a bad mood.
Yep.
He's mad at having to write a joke about these assholes. Living hell.
But excited at the same time. He included it in his list.
He loves it. He loves it. He knows about the anthem thing, although I don't know what year that was. It may have been,
it was before this, for
sure. It was before this.
Money Matters More. Oh, God. He probably knows. Fuck. Okay.
The anthem was 1990.
I knew it was in Sassy Times.
The trailer park and I'm going to say, okay, misogyny. It's probably her fault, not Tom. So I'm going for Roseanne has put Tom through living hell.
Okay. Sarah.
He sort of wants it both ways. Like, he wants to shit on them for being trashy, but then he also really resents rich talent, rich actors, pop stars. So it is between Trailer Next Door and being herself. Sympathy Yacht is also tempting, but I think it's maybe a little too pithy. But also, that is a very first thought rich people thing. Oh, God, this is tough. Sympathy Yacht.
Okay, Dave, cool.
Trailer Next Door. Mean as fuck.
Dave Ross.
So mean.
I think it's Drake, though, but let's
I like Money Matters More because it has nothing to, like, it has nothing to do with Family Matters at all. There's like one word that makes it so that you can then whine about, you know, whatever. How much the Braves are paying Fred McGriff this year to play a kid's game or whatever you would be complaining about in 93. So I'll go with Money Matters More, please.
All right, Jeff Drake.
To get to my choice, I had to reread. And I know this probably didn't serve Stephen well last time, but I went to the original. ABC put them through a living hell by making them rich and famous, and the network expects to be thanked. Truly doesn't make sense.
Yep.
Like, that just truly doesn't make sense. Like, the stars are whining. And ABC is the one who made them rich and famous. And what part of that sets up and the network expects to be thanked? None of it. So I choose and the network expects to be thanked because it makes no sense to me.
And that's the mullet.
No, yes. Jeff.
Wow.
Nice work.
Sing the anthem at the network holiday party was Sarah. Roseanne has put Tom through a living hell by being herself was Drake.
No.
Money Matters More, Falk. Trailer Next Door, raw. Sympathy Yacht nice was David T. Cole.
Good one. Almost picked it.
Here we are.
Well played.
At the end of days. Whew. Question 16.
Thank God.
From August 28th, 1992, Julia Child's 80th birthday. That bitch has had it too good for too long. I think we all agree. But his
wait,
setup
is he going to be mean to 80-year-old Julia Child?
I don't know. Let's see. Setup is, there's only one problem with French food. Number one, it's always on strike. Number two, a half hour after you eat it, you're rude again. Number three, the snooty guy bringing it to the table. Number four, the dishes are much harder to pronounce than to eat. Number five, it's the only cuisine that comes with a side of disapproval. And number six, after 80 years of eating it, it can really turn you into a butterface.
No way.
He
that last
dare.
One. Oh, if that's the, if that, no way. But if it is, holy fuck.
Wow, he hates the French, or we assume he hates the French.
Sarah D. Bunting, please start us off for the final time.
Hmm. No, I shan't.
please?
I too am on strike. Okay, you did say please. All of these are both too good and too terrible. I mean, Butterface.
Wow.
Just for the record, butter and face are each capitalized. So that's really pretty out there. Ergo, it's probably the mullen. It's
pronounced Butterface.
Butterface. Yeah, snooty guy is compelling. The dishes are too hard to pronounce. I'm a little surprised that we didn't get one about smoking. That definitely would have tipped me to the mullen.
Or surrendering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's that you're rude again a half hour after you eat it, because that's also braiding in this like weird half hour after you eat Chinese food thing.
That's
it just seems like the signal got jammed halfway through.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the heroin milk is inches away on the table.
Yeah, but it's kind of good. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like it's maybe like a Johnny Carson level monologue joke. Funny.
Yeah. It's like he got the rhythm of it and then filled in blocks from something else that don't really work, which is true of a lot of mullens. So I'm going with root again.
Yeah. I discounted it for the exact same reason, but you're kind of making me doubt that. Mm. Snooty guy bringing it to the table. Classic disapproval. Mm. Same vibe. I'm not going to, but the butterface thing is so fucked up. Kind of want to throw it.
It's really.
Dishes are harder to pronounce than to eat. I feel like that's too much. Oh, fuck it. I'm going to go with Sarah here. Half an hour after you eat it, you're rude again. Had the same thought about Chinese food being a cross signal here, but fuck it. Let's do it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense when you think about it, but he didn't, so...
I've talked myself out of other ones that haven't made sense, so I'm going to go out with this one.
All right, Roth.
Good combination of old joke that was never good being given... The hastiest possible alteration.
I got to pick my kids up from school.
Oof mode.
Jeff.
I mean, it's so crazy that it's like the headline is Julia Child's 80th birthday.
Yeah.
And then he goes out of his way to be like, the only problem with French food, it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about Julia Child at
this
all.
This bitch.
And another thing. Yeah.
At all. I don't want to talk about her. I heard Julia Child and I thought, yeah, I hate the French too. Like, we're either raining points on one lucky contestant or we're all picking the mullen. I'm going to go with a half hour after you eat it.
All right. Stephen Falk.
Yeah. I mean, the argument for it is it is just 100% hack joke setup, including his part of it. There's only one problem with French food, .. I heard that about Chinese food. What can I do with French? What are French people rude? Done. I'm having a glass of milk. I'm day's over.
That milk again.
I'm going for that one.
Oh.
Well, it's a clean sweep for...
Dave.
The mullet!
Yes, nicely done. Yes. What a way to end it.
We did a little bit of redemption at the end.
Got you, mullen.
Now we know it takes 16 practice rounds for you to get
nearly 2 hours
of
Earth
time. Here we go. Just kidding.
Okay,
oh,
great.
Jesus.
All right, here is what everyone else did. It's Always on Strike was Sarah. The snooty guy bringing it to the table was Roth. The dishes are much harder to pronounce than to eat was Falk. It's the only cuisine that comes with a side of disapproval was David T. Cole. And... that means Butterface, everyone's favorite.
Oh my God.
You're
not
welcome.
Great, Bob.
Yeah, do not tell Drake my birthday, please. Thank
Christ.
You.
Christ.
Wow.
Jeez Louise.
Baby.
Oh, savage.
Someone get her a sympathy yacht.
Holy yeah, shit. Jesus Christ.
God, I'm glad there wasn't a Mr. Rogers joke.
It wasn't me. It was me as
here.
Mullen.
Yes, yeah, this yes. Is, of
the
course.
Comparison. That was made in one of the previous episodes is that this is basically like doing a serial killer profile, but like you run the risk of like whatever happened to William Peterson's character in Manhunter happens to you from trying to do this.
Yeah, you've looked into the mullen abyss.
Yeah,
it's I can tell you it's really terrible writing a network sitcom as I was doing on Friday and then also toggling between this. It really fucks you up. It's like playing tennis and pickleball at the same time.
You're doing the wrong things.
I think that's going to be the outro clip, is like playing tennis and pickleball at the same time. Just marking it here. Dave, listen to this. Look at all these markers I'm making silently. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, God.
In my defense, what I was then apparently saying by calling her a butterface is that Julia, I think Julia Child at 80 has a hot bod. So that's what was being said.
Yeah.
Well, when you explain it like that, that really makes no sense at all. And that could have been the mullen. Yeah.
I'd like to change my answer.
I was so, this was like the last one. It was the last one. And I was like, this is all. First thought was
you
mulled
mullen.
So and I was just like, I can't think of anything else.
I did this one last too, and it was the same sort of like I was in milk mode. I was like French snooty, boom, mode. Time to make dinner.
Yeah, like, I literally
can
was
we
like,
make t-shirts that say milk mode, please.
Milk mode.
I'm serious.
Milk mode and milk
oaf mode is also pretty good. Mode.
I loved elf mode.
All right, our scores. First, I have a correction. Unfortunately, at the half, I miscounted. So, in fact, it was Sarah with 7, Dave with 9, Roth and Jeff and Steve all were tied with 10. Mm. A lot of big changes in the second half. Sarah finished in a respectable last place with 11 points.
Congratulations.
Roth next up after her with 14.
Oh, that must mean I'm normal.
Then we've got Jeff
that is
Drake.
What New Jersey is like.
That's correct. Then we got Jeff Drake with 21.
Wow.
Stephen Falk had 26, but Dave was the biggest gainer, finishing with 28 points.
Oh.
Sure.
I don't care. I love it. I love it when I win Maladesh.
Love it.
This is my second win.
It was 19 points in the second half for Dave Tinker.
Wow.
What a run.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, guys.
I did my part to raise you up.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Grape. We tapped into the deep, dark recesses of our mullen brains to get into the head of one Jim Mullen, fool our fellow players, and win the day. At the end of it, was it really a winner or just 5 empty husks of human beings who stare too long into that abyss? Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano,
I'm going to hire a better writing team.
Sarah D. Bunting.
And it stinks.
Mr. Jeff Drake.
I'm just saying, 80-year-old Julia Child is a rockin' bot.
Stephen Falk.
I wish Mullen was around to write jokes about K-pop demon hunters.
And David J. Rod.
Did not consent to this abyss gazing back into me.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
I have a 3-year-old niece who writes funnier stuff than any of these guys.
Is she available?
All right.
Woo!
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.